if North Korea starts saying it, we might not trust them. We might not believe in them. They don't count. The Taliban's like, yes, we've been talking to aliens. We're not gonna believe the Taliban. What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And I am extremely excited to bring to you guys on this week's show a man named Zach Ewing. And he is newly appointed Director of Sports Betting and Gaming for The Advocate in the Times-Picayune, which means he's the director of sports betting and gaming for the largest media outlets in the state of Louisiana. And he was gracious enough with his time to come on this show and join us today. And so, Zach, what's up, man? Welcome to Taking the Over. I'm so excited that you're here.
Hey, man, I'm happy to be here. I love the name of the podcast because, as we all know, life's too short to bet the under.
That's right. So thank you. Thank you.
You know, we're going to take the over and let's get rolling.
Dude, we're already going to be friends. I can tell. Like, this is good. I'm making a new friend today, and I'm very excited because I'm always excited to talk to people that know gambling. I mean, I have guests on the show that don't know gambling as well. That's okay. We have, you are media director for, you're going to be like just delivering it to the masses. So you have to operate from a standpoint of people aren't all that educated on gambling. You know, you're just, it's kind of like introductory level. But guys like you and me, we know it really well. And so when guys like us can get together, I always get excited.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually do bet a lot of unders because, I mean, you know what they say, the sharp side is the under in a lot of cases. Yeah. And then I feel like I engage in 3 hours of self-hate the whole time because you're just like, you know, I want to see touchdowns and three-pointers. And but all you're really rooting for is the clock to melt down. And it's just not that fun. So
no, it's not. It's not. And, the house, I have a friend that manufactures books for a living, and we were hanging out one time watching a game, and we were talking about how much more fun it is to bet the over than the under. And then I looked at him and I said, so wait, everybody's betting the over and you're the guy taking the action. You've always got to be rooting for the under. And he looks at me and he says, it's the hardest part of my job, son.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and like to your point, people don't, we are trying to deliver this to the masses. And I mean, hopefully, and we were talking about it off the air, like Louisiana tries to get people engaged in betting for this season. And even, I know mobile betting is going to be behind the in-person betting, but let's get that rolling in time for the end of football season so that people can really, because as you know, like it doesn't matter if I have $5 on a game or $500. You still get the butterflies. You still have the fun.
Yeah.
And it's just entertainment, right?
Right. That's exactly correct. That's one of the, I think when there's so many newcomers to this and people like you and I think have an obligation to explain certain things, and you just hit the nail on the head. It's entertainment. Okay. I was explaining this to a friend very recently. It's like a night at the movies. If I put $20 on the Thursday night football game, it's not going to hurt me if it goes either way. It's like if I went out to eat,
you know, right. And but the game is all of a sudden interesting. Instead
the game
of
is now like
TV.
Buying a movie ticket. Yeah. Now the game right. is that 3 hours of entertainment where I have stakes, where I give a shit, where I care. And it's exciting. That's you. I mean, and I think that's the healthiest way to go about it, you know, and I think it's the right way to go about it. And cause I don't want to see people get wrecked by gaming. You know, no. And I have strong thoughts on that, too. And that's something that we're going to get to later when we talk about delivery. Now, I thought I heard you say something in there. It sounds like you're a little skeptical that we're going to get up in time. Right. And that's something that I have followed intently. And so I want to get your take on what, you know, what you think we're looking at as far as availability. When is it going to actually be launched?
I mean, our latest intel is that they're working to vet these sports books right now. This is where I don't follow politics too closely normally. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really care how long things take in the state house. But now that I actually have a vested interest in it, it's like, guys, what the hell is taking so long? You know, mm-hmm. like what do you need to vet with FanDuel or with Caesars? Like they've done this.
They're replicating a process.
You shouldn't have to sit there, but it is a process. And the people on the state of Louisiana's end want to make sure that all of their I's are dotted and T's are crossed and all that stuff. So it just seems to me that there's too much money at stake not to get it started sooner rather than later.
Exactly.
But anyway, our latest intel is that mid-September is sort of the optimistic viewpoint. So maybe mm-hmm. you're week two or three of the NFL season, which would be week three or four of college football. And that would be fine. The other aspect of that, as I mentioned, is at first, I guess it's just going to be the brick and mortar casinos. You can mm-hmm. go into Harrah's, mm-hmm. you can go into whichever casinos around the state
right.
And bet, but you won't be able to do it on your phone for another few weeks or months after that. So it's going to be a process this first season. And I wish they had done this all last year, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the, it feels like the retail element, like physically walking in a brick and mortar casino, a traditional retail setup. I believe that's going to be in play. I think we're going to have that in time for week one. And I'm optimistic for a reason that you touched upon. There's so much money at stake and the vetting that needs to take place. Like you said, all the big boys, they've been vetted 17 times before, you know, they're set up for that. I'm optimistic that we're going to get the app based stuff by mid September as well. No later than
that would be fantastic. And I will say to your point, like the way news has trickled on this is like, it's, you get nothing for weeks and then all of a sudden they'll dump a big piece of news that nobody saw coming. Like, oh, hey, now FanDuel can reach out and get customers. Oh, hey, now you can go into yeah. Brick. And so it kind of feels like maybe on next Tuesday or the Wednesday after that, like the hammer will drop and everybody will be free to go. And we obviously have people inside the building here who are very
government reporter people.
Government reported people and then just advertisers who are talking to casinos and stuff. And that inside info is so valuable that I hope we get a couple days notice. But the way things have gone, it's like mm-hmm. Every bit of news has almost been a blindside. So hopefully the next blindside will happen on Monday and we'll all have gambling.
Yeah. Well, I know they opened they started allegedly, according to what they said at the meeting of the Gaming Control Board last Thursday, this past Monday, they started looking at applications for the app-based folks. And so, we're a few days into that now. So, yeah, maybe it'll be a big surprise on Monday. Let me ask you this. I forgot to ask you this. Are you a listener to Taking the Over? Are you an overtaker?
I have not listened yet to a full episode. I mean, when you invited me on, I listened to a few parts of them just to
kind
of
make sure I'm not a lunatic, right?
Well... You might get some points for that, though. I mean,
you got to be safe, though. You don't want to go. There's people out there you should avoid. I'll share. They don't do gambling podcasts. They do other types of podcasts. I'll tell you about them off air. Missouri, you're a graduate of Missouri.
I am.
One of the top journalism schools in the country, right?
And here I am. You know, I worked in California for 10. Well, I worked in Missouri for a couple of years right after graduating. Then I went to California for 10 years and became the sports editor of a paper out there. And then I moved here and I'm sort of second in charge of the sports section here, or at least I was. And then they offered this job and everybody in the office goes, oh, Zach's a total degenerate. He's got to be the guy to take that.
Because how long have you been betting on sports? When did you start?
So the first time I actually laid a bet was the first time I went to Vegas, which was 2009,
okay.
2008. Yeah. Right. So, I was like 23 years old and hadn't done any of the mobile stuff or whatever, but where I was in California was Bakersfield. It's about a 4-hour drive from Vegas. And so we would go over 3-4 times a year and I would play some futures bets and keep them in my wallet. And you know, look at them like they were photos of my kids every few days, and you know, and then send them into Cash'em or else wait till the next time I drove over. But I started getting into the offshore game mobile probably 5 years after that. So that, you know, then it becomes a lot more regular. And you know how even now you're sort of with these offshore things, you're like, well, I don't know how much I really want to invest in this, because
offshore is always a bad idea. I've never been a fan. Offshore money feels like it goes one way offshore. That's just a thing I've seen.
It's it's entertainment, right? And so I told myself and told my wife, incidentally, when I started, like, hey, $100. If we lose $100, we lose $100. But I'm going to get a lot of fun out of it, and we're going to see what happens. And you know, so far I haven't lost $100, and here we are 7 years later. And so I haven't made a ton of money, but haven't lost any money either. So you know, but it's fun. It's provided me 7 years worth of entertainment. So,
well, and that's the other thing that a lot of people don't realize too. Like, you're not going into this to make money. You're going into this to have fun. If you're going to hover right around 50%.
Right.
You know, the math of it, and with very few winning. I mean, yeah. So that's why I always say on the show, you should bet more. The more bets you make, the less you lose, because you're that much closer to. That's what you need to tell your wife. You need to get the budget up to like 200 or 300. You know, double, triple those units, and be like, honey, the more bets we place, the better off we'll be.
She finds that I tell her more when I win, and then when not running good, then she doesn't hear anything. And so she, well, you've got to have made a bunch of money by now, right? You always talk. Well, I'm not exactly telling you every bet I made.
So it's the secret to wives. It's the secret to wives and gambling Twitter. Just promote your wins. Don't promote your losses.
That's
Like, I have a hard time with touts. I'm sure you know what a tout is. I have a hard time with touts. I have a hard time with that whole industry, because I feel like it takes advantage of people. You know, like, I've had people ask me, and I've had listeners go like, have you ever considered selling your picks or starting a site? I'm like, no, that's stupid. Patreon, putting it behind pay. I'm like, no, I'm not really like telling you I'm some fucking guru. I mean, I'm better than the average cat at NFL betting, but I'm not telling you I'm going to lead some gospel of how to get you anywhere.
No, I personally would have issue with people paying me for information that they expect to win money on.
Yes.
Because if it doesn't work out, now not only do I feel internally guilty, but you're like, you want to talk about angry customers. Like, we get angry readers, but you talk about angry customers if you're costing them money. Like, I just don't want to deal with any of that. And my other thing on touts has always been, if you're really that good, you're not going to waste your time selling your picks.
Yeah.
Just go make your picks.
Why are you running a website, dude? Yeah, it's a lot of infrastructure. We just go straight to the fucking middleman. Touts are bull. And for the casual listener, touts are these people that are trying to get your money out of you to sell you their picks. And they're called a tout because they typically only tout their winnings rather than tout their losings. I'm trying to show that this year. Like, I have Mississippi long-tailed ragamuffin long-haired cat named Uncle Baby Billy, and he is picking a lot of NFL football games this year. In fact, we had our first exercise this past weekend this past Monday with the Saints and the Jaguars, and it was exercise where my cat is going to pick games all year long, and my cat is going to have a more successful record than a lot of people out there in the gambling world, and experts, famous people, people with sponsorships. And the whole point of the exercise is just to illustrate the variability of just randomness, how it makes sense.
It's absolutely, I mean, it's the more fun way of doing a coin flip, but it's like, we've talked about doing that here with our contests and things, and we haven't nailed down exactly what sort of critter we'd use yet. But I mean, you remember, was it like the 06 World Cup in Germany where they had an octopus making the picks?
Yes.
And so
I'm very well studied in the history of animal handicapping. I'm very impressed that you recalled the octopus from the 06 World Cup.
That's the first one I remember.
Well, there's a guy out there on Twitter. He's the world's worst bettor. His name is Ben the Bettor. Are you familiar with Ben the Bettor?
I haven't heard of Ben.
He would have like 70,000 followers, but he's banned like 40,000. So he's on, you know, but or whatever block or whatever. He is legitimately the world's worst better, and he has a Patreon. You can pay for his picks and fade him, and if you do, he loses at a record that's improbable. He's at about a 40% lifetime. Like, it's really, really bad. And his units are horrible because he does a lot of money line the wrong way. It's unbelievable phenomena. He took on a tortoise, a prominent Canadian guy in the wagering community, put up his pet tortoise, Tortellini, against Ben this year, and the tortoise beat Ben.
Well, I mean, as he would if Ben's at 40%.
Yes. So I guess I say all that to say, are you willing to compete against my Mississippi long-tailed, long-haired ragamuffin Uncle Baby Billy this season in a handicapping contest?
Listen, I think in my NFL picks, which I just made in the print edition of The Advocate and Picayune last year, so not that many people even saw them, but I kept track. And I was a full two games above 500 ATS through the season. And so I feel confident in saying that your cat has no chance.
Okay. That sounds like a challenge.
I was a full 51%. So, you know, yeah, just to warn you.
It'll be close. That's a tough one. Dude, I hit NFL, tracked NFL winners last year at 56%. So,
wow. I was a little better the year before. I was at 53 or 54 the year before. Yeah. But last year I hit 51.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but I did hit 56% last year, and I'm feeling good about it this year. It's like a desert between season. What's your favorite sport to bet on? What do you prefer?
I bet more on football than anything else. I actually think now my most success comes in futures, specifically win totals. Mm-hmm. I'll bet football win totals, basketball win totals, baseball win totals, and even English Premier League point totals. And I'm a lifetime over 500 in all of those. So that's actually, and you talk about from the entertainment standpoint, then you can follow your bet for months. I mean, I know they get to hold your money, but if it's just for entertainment, I love those futures bets. Having said that, I probably bet more college football than anything. I do like betting baseball though. Wow. We're in baseball season, because you can find, if you find three or four good-looking underdogs win at a higher clip in baseball. I'm talking moneyline underdogs, win at a higher clip in baseball than anywhere else, because it's such a random game. You can make some money betting baseball if you pick your spots.
And I don't touch it. It terrifies me. It terrifies me because I don't follow baseball at all. And then NBA, I mean, it felt like in previous years, NBA round one was a time to clean up, and that was a little bit similar this year, but NBA is tough. I really like NFL. Many years ago, I used to dabble in college a lot. I'm gonna dip my toe back in college a lot this year. I'm an NFL guy, you know, and I like teasers. I can't lie. I like teasers. I'm stupid. You know, I'm already looking at a week one college bet, and I'm like, I could tease that. Like, don't tease that, dummy. What's your take on teasers? How bad are they?
The second or third time I was in Vegas, I discovered teasers, and like, holy crap, this is the most amazing thing in the world. Like, I get 6.5 extra points on every leg. I can't lose. You know, so I bet like 10 of them over the weekend and lose 7 of them, and it's like, yeah. You start to realize it's a terrible idea, and that's why they're called teasers, because they make they look good. I will say, I think there's certain times when you can go over a key number with a teaser that it's worth it. Like, if you can get your bet over 3 or 7, or you know, under 7 or under 3 or over the fence, like, to where in a football game specifically you're getting that key margin taken care of, it can be worth it. I just find it's hard to, especially in the NFL, man, it's hard to nail three games, any three games. It's hard to just say, to have a good read on enough games to make the teaser worth it, because in one of them, I find I'm liable to get blown out of the water.
I want you to follow my NFL teasers this year. I'll do. And I have the ability to lay off, because I feel like I can read two or three games. Like, look at NFL week one, the Thursday night game with the Cowboys and the Bucks. And last I saw, I haven't looked in a week or so, but last I saw the Bucks minus 6.5. feel very confident the Bucks are going to win that game. I'm watching Hard Knocks. The Cowboys are a shit show, right? I mean, the Cowboy, that Hard Knocks is embarrassing to the Cowboys right now. I can't believe they would allow that. But
the drone video was cool.
The drone video was outstanding. That's been the best.
That was the best part of it.
That's the best part of all three or four episodes they've had so far. The Cowboys are going to lose that game. I could see maybe Tampa not clearing. Like, Kansas City didn't clear a bunch last year, but they were clearly a team with a lot of wins. I could see Tampa not clearing 6.5, but I feel very confident I could bring Tampa from 6.5 to 0.5, and they're going to win. And I can find I can find one other game further down the line, and I can find that third one. And that 3 is the magic number on this. You know, if I can get that three-way 6-point and I can get a read on 3 games, I tend to have success with them.
What's the total on that opening game? I
haven't looked.
I don't remember what it is, but it seems like a lot of times those early season games are just a little bit sloppy on off. I mean, you know, you look at the preseason, the unders are 23-8 or something like that.
But week one NFL last year, the over went 14-2. And that last year was a very interesting anomaly because we had no preseason last year.
That's right. And you just wonder what kind of shape people were in. And last year, I almost feel like you got to throw some of the trends from last year out.
We're going to take every over week one on this show.
I forgot the name of the podcast momentarily. So.
Every single we're going to show people.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tease the total under six. Tease the total down 6 points and bet the over. There's your second leg right there.
I had a lot of fun teasing. I had a lot of fun week one preseason teasing totals up 6 and taking the under. It's beautiful. It was really, really
beautiful. These games have been brutal. Mm-hmm. They have been brutal. Don't watch them. Just bet the under and cash in later.
Yeah, that's it. Couple other questions for, you know, we get into some games for this week. So do you have a preferred book? Like, I live in the New Orleans metro area. I spent most of the pandemic living in South Mississippi. I'm from this part of the world, the North Shore originally. It's always been an easy thing to go to the coast. And so when I go to the coast, I know, for example, The Silver Slipper is a William Hill book. If I want a FanDuel book, I know that I need to go to the IP. If I want a Barstool book, I know that I can go to Boomtown. If I want Harrah's or, you know, I'll go to Beau Rivage as MGM. There's all these different options. Do you have you established like a preferred book at this point? Or as we get ready for, we're about to be flooded with all the options, hopefully before mid-September at the latest. Is there any that you're particularly excited about?
Not really. I'm a shopper. I mean, I'll look for the right line. I live in the Baton Rouge area. I like LeBaire's down on the river. Mm-hmm. I think that's an MGM book, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
I think they did something pretty innovative at the LeBaire's. You're going to see something interesting there. I don't want to spoil it, but it's not going to be that simple.
Harrah's is a Caesars book, which is William Hill. William Hill. Right. I'm a shopper. I mean, I'll look for depending on what, but now having said that, I don't know that I want to have separate accounts at 6 different places and have to sit there and keep track of it. Maybe I'll get there eventually, but I'll probably just pick one and be happy with it.
Shop in the lines is the right answer. I mean, you know, and there's so much to be value to be had with that. And that can give you such the edge. And that's one thing that is, again, the filthy casuals get access to it. You know, shop the lines, folks. You're going to have options. You know, it may be a little painful to have multiple accounts, but it will help your bottom line in the long run too.
I mean, if you can get +7 instead of +6.5, it's worth having the other account because you're going to win more bets.
Right. All right. Well, look, I'm excited that you mentioned you like college football because, like I said, I'm dipping my toes back into college football here. And as we become, as we wear the crown of the most popular sports wagering podcast in the Louisiana media market, I'm going to have to break a rule that I set last year where I was telling people not to focus on local teams just because of your own bias and your own fandom. But I cannot help but notice every time I'd be standing in a line trying to place bets on a Saturday for a Sunday NFL slate, everybody was going nuts, even in the Mississippi Gulf Coast casinos, about LSU. So one of the things I'm going to do this year is we are going to focus on what the people want. We're going to give the people what they want, Zach Ewing, and we're going to talk about local football. We're going to put a spotlight on local college football. And we've got two fun ones on September 4th. LSU is traveling to California in a showcase game against UCLA. And I got a line off of FanDuel this afternoon. It's LSU currently -4.5. Zach, what's your thoughts on the LSU-UCLA game September 4th?
So I've thought about this a lot for obvious reasons. And the line I saw today was 4. But yeah, I think it's been bouncing between 4 and 4.5. This LSU, now listen, again, even more so in college football than the NFL, you almost have to throw last year out. It was screwed up. Teams were moving games around, not finding out who they played until 3 days before, having key players out because of COVID. I mean, it was just an epic mess. And nowhere was that more true than Baton Rouge, where it was LSU had, I think statistically, it was the worst season by a defending national champion in 60 years or something. I mean, some insane amount of time. They went 5-5. They were probably lucky to go 5-5 because they won a couple games in the last possession. But we all know they've got just loads of talent, right? I mean, they've got Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be a top first half of first round pick next year as a corner, maybe top 10. They've got Kayshon Boutte won't be NFL draft eligible this year, but he's going to be the next great wide receiver. He's going to be the next Jamar Chase or Terrace Marshall and be a first-round NFL draft pick. Max Johnson is Brad Johnson's son. He's an NFL player. I know Miles Brennan got hurt, but I mean, I could go on and on the list. They bring back a bunch of linemen. This is a super talented team, and there's no way they can be 5-5 again or 6-6. They're too good. And so that's why you see them traveling 2,000 miles and laying points against a Power 5 team, because they're going to be good. On the other side of the ball, I find UCLA to be equally unpredictable. They were not very good the last couple of years, but the Pac-12 barely had a season last year. We've all seen what Chip Kelly can do when he was at Oregon. Give him a couple years to recruit the kind of athletes he wants, and all of a sudden it's basketball and grass, and they're going to run up and down the field on you. And that's exactly the sort of attack that gave LSU fits last year. Now, LSU's got a new defensive coordinator and a new offensive coordinator. This is all a long-winded way of saying this might be the most unpredictable game on the entire college football slate. I'm staying away from it. I know I'm going to have to end up making a pick one way or the other, and I haven't even decided which way I'm going. But it seems about right to me, especially given that UCLA is asking high school kids to come to its games for free to fill up the stadium, which tells me that LSU is going to have more fans in the Rose Bowl than UCLA is. And so home field advantage, I think, matters almost nothing in this game. And I think LSU ultimately wins the game. I don't know if they can cover a 4 or a 4.5. So I'm just, with my money, I'm staying away from it. I will say the one LSU bet that I do like is under 8.5 on their win total for the season, just because the schedule is brutal. I mean, even if they pull this game out, they've still got to play Florida, Alabama, both Mississippi schools who are much improved. Texas A&M is going to be a top 10 team. I don't see them winning 9 games. So that would be my one piece of advice for LSU. Not that I don't think they're going to be much better, but given the schedule, 9-3 is hard for me to predict.
That's fair. You know, that's very fair. I meant to ask you this earlier. What year did you come to this market? Like, you've been between Baton Rouge and...
2017. I came in actually in the middle of the football season. The day I rolled into town with the moving truck and my cats and my kids was the day LSU lost to Troy.
Oh, wow. That was a bad day. Yeah.
So I remember the specific day. So things have been a lot better for LSU since then.
Yeah. We've had some, and I don't really identify as an LSU fan as much as a lot of people. I'm a Saints fan, diehard, dying to blood. You know, my son doesn't rise and set with LSU. I like to see LSU do well. I used to work at LSU. I have a lot of friends there. I have an affinity for the campus and everything that it represents. But
I'm not an LSU football crazy. We have a guy on this network that has an LSU show that's more like the LSU fan. But the scariest thing about this one to me is UCLA will have already played a game.
That was another. Yeah, I actually have that on my list to mention too, and that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, but this is another thing. And now you have to forgive me because I did grow up in the SEC here, right? And I've noticed a phenomena that it seems to exist in line setting, and yeah, Power Five. Ooh, UCLA is a Power Five school. And it feels like we got to wait until the end of the year during bowl season or year to figure this out. The SEC's ass kickers, dude. I think you play this same game 10 weeks into the season. There's no way in the world LSU's only going to lay 4.5. I feel like by the time the truth comes out, LSU's going to be like an 11.5-point favorite in this game. So I feel like LSU minus 4.5 is a gift. It's crazy as it sounds, UCLA, because they're UCLA, is getting the benefit of the doubt here by the guys in Las Vegas. So I feel like 4.5 is a gift. And the only thing that gives me pause there is UCLA having that game up on the LSU. But I'm going to endorse LSU minus 4.5 when they play in 2 weeks. I'd love to get it at 4, as you've seen. I think it's safe at 4.5 as well. I think they can win by 12. I mean, this feels like a very similar game a few seasons ago when they had a kickoff against, I can't remember who, might have been Miami or somebody like that, and we just destroyed them in that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Labor Day weekend, Saturday game or whatever, Sunday game, and we just, boom, you know.
There was a guy named Joe Burrow in that game who might have made a difference. That was his debut, I think, against Miami. When I am forced to make a pick on this game, I think I'm probably leaning LSU. I just, you're talking about two totally unpredictable teams, a brand new coaching staff at LSU versus Chip Kelly, who, you know, he hadn't done a whole lot at UCLA yet, but we all know he can bring the goods from his time at Oregon. So, you know, and like you said, if two UCLA guys have two defensive guys have their signals mixed up, okay, Hawaii's going to burn them for a touchdown this week, and UCLA is still going to win 35-21. But if that happens to LSU next week, that could be a big deal because, you know, UCLA is going to have that cleaned up. I don't know. I just ultimately stay away from it, I think. But it's intriguing for sure. We're going to learn a lot.
Any games I feel like I don't want to pick, I just have the cat pick them, and it absolves me. It's nice. You're going to have to settle on a critter to pick games for you. The other big college football game that is on September the 4th that I'm very excited about is the University of Louisiana at Lafayette traveling to take on Texas Longhorns and their new head coach, Steve Sarkisian. I saw on FanDuel this afternoon, ULL plus 8.5. I saw people writing articles about LSU at 9 or ULL at 9.5. ULL 8.5 in this game. Zach, what's your thoughts on it?
It's interesting because when the line was first posted in the summer, I think it was above 10.
It was above 10.
It might have been 11 or 11.5 in some spots. And it's moved down pretty steadily. And there's some good reason here because, again, the pandemic changes everything. The Raging Cajuns had a whole bunch of guys who would have been out of eligibility come back. And so they're going to be one of the most veteran experienced teams, not just in the country this year, but maybe ever in college football. I mean, you're going to have a whole bunch of fifth and sixth year guys on that team who normally would not have the extra year of eligibility. And you add to that the fact that they went on the road and beat Iowa State last year and the season Iowa State ended up having, they won the Sun Belt. They didn't actually win the Sun Belt because the championship game got canceled. But they split the Sun Belt championship with Coastal Carolina. And so, like, they had that dream season last year, and then everybody comes back and they get the big name opponent. So now that I'm done praising, it just feels like one of those games where all the storylines point in one direction and say, listen, Texas kind of disappointed last year. We don't know what Steve Sarkisian's going to bring to the table. You know, they brought in Tom Herman, and that was sort of I don't want to call it a disaster, but it didn't really work. And now you bring in Sarkisian, who was a disaster at USC and had to leave because of a drunken episode. You know, he was an alcoholic. I get why people don't trust him, and I get why people trust the Cajuns. It just feels like one of those games where you have to fade the public storylines, though, and take Texas, doesn't it? That's, I mean, from an analytic standpoint, that's how I feel, even though my heart wants to say the Cajuns can go in there and upset them.
I'm all over ULL 8.5. I'll take it. I liked it when I saw it, you know, this summer. I'm not a believer in Sarkisian. I think he's one of the best coordinators in all the land, but I don't think he's a head coach. I don't think he has the leadership qualities necessary for it. I think ULL has got everything going their way, and I think these Raging Cajuns are going to go. I mean, I'm considering just putting a money line on it too.
Wow.
Taking them both ways.
Why I say they're, man, the storylines and some of all the sort of surface logic all points to the Cajuns. Now they're going to run into a team that has better athletes than any team they've played in years. That's the flip side to this. And so does that change things? I mean, I hear what you're saying. But I'm one of those fade the public guys. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that the Cajuns are the public team.
Could be. It's interesting. It's funny to say that the ULL Raging Cajuns are the public team over the University.
And it does seem very strange to say that. But when you look at, hey, they're bringing everybody back and everybody's real down on Texas right now. And it's funny because I look at power ratings a lot in the preseason because it can be difficult to wrangle in your head everybody, especially in college football when the personnel changes so much. You know, who came back and who's gone, and what do the power ratings say when you just punch all this stuff into a computer? And my favorite set of power rankings is probably SP Plus, which Bill Connolly does for ESPN. I think it's really intuitive and it does a good job. And it's done pretty well against the spread, if I'm not mistaken. He keeps track of it. I think he's trending above 55% over since he's done it for 10 years. And he is the one set of power rankings I've seen that says the Raging Cajuns are close to the Longhorns. They're only a couple points behind them, and then you throw in home field, so maybe the line should be more like, what, 5.5, 6? And so at 8.5, you're getting a big bargain. But every other set I look at says Texas is 12 to 15 points better. And then add home field onto that, and so 8.5 Texas should have no problem with. So it's interesting. Incidentally, SP Plus is also the only set of power rankings that likes UCLA to cover against LSU.
We'll have to see. I feel good. I'm not usually a homer. I'm really not, but especially, I mean, okay, I'm a homer for the Saints. I'll acknowledge that. But I have no emotional attachment to LSU or University of Louisiana Lafayette, and they both jump right off the page to me. That being said, I want to talk about one more piece of gambling, actual gambling, before we get you out of here. And that is some NFC South win totals, starting with the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, we're using FanDuel's numbers as of this afternoon. Carolina over under 7.5 wins total. The over is plus 100. The under is minus 120. Carolina 7.5. What do you think, Zach?
I'm going to go under on this one, and this is probably the one I'm least certain about, because I do have a lot of respect for Joe Brady, speaking of LSU, and he's got Terrace Marshall in there, and he's got some of that LSU talent in there, and I think there's more in Sam Darnold than we saw in New York, and if you have a healthy Christian McCaffrey, I just don't know that the Panthers have enough depth and enough play on the lines and enough in the back half of the defense to go 8-9. So I'm going to lean under, but it's this one I'm not real certain about.
Gotcha. I think Joe Brady lost me at Sam Darnold. And I feel like Rule and Brady have had what's the word to say? Like, everybody's like, oh, we got these two gurus and they went to Carolina and they're going to do great things. Well, all I saw them do was not be able to do anything with Teddy Bridgewater. And they go, but no, Sam Darnold is the answer. And
that is a scary statement.
Yeah, well, it's that's what your boy came up with. So, hey, man, not all fan bases are as blessed as we are to be Saints fans and have good, competent management and coaching. You know, I mean, the Saints are a top three franchise in the NFL at this point. Like, just when you where players want to go, everything about that. I mean, it. You know, we're so fortunate as a fan base to have that. I would lean under as well, because I don't think Carolina is gonna have it together. I think they're gonna be fighting with the next team, Atlanta, who FanDuel also has at 7.5 points for bottom place in the NFC South. The over Atlanta 7.5 is -135, so they juice it up a little bit because they want you. They're trying to push you to the under of +115, under 7.5.
I mean, they got to see something I don't see, because that team's going to go 8-9. I still like Matt Ryan. I still think he's a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the NFL. And I don't blame them for taking Kyle Pitts, because, like, in fantasy football, I would love to have Kyle Pitts on my team. I think he's just going to be terrific. I mean, he's impossible to cover, and I think their offense could do some things. Julio's gone. I mean, Julio never played anyway, so right. He was never healthy anyway. So Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts and Russell Gage, I mean, you know, I think the offense will be okay. I don't really like the offensive line. What I don't really understand is, why does anybody think they're going to get better defensively?
No.
They were so bad the last couple of years defensively, and they didn't bring anybody in. They didn't have a lot of help, or the guys they did bring in are just not – you know, they don't inspire a lot of confidence. And then on the offensive side, like, we talked about all the weapons in the passing game, but they brought in Mike Davis to be the bell cow back. And I don't see him as that, especially behind a makeshift offensive line. They lost Alex Mack, who is their center and probably their best lineman. I have a really hard time seeing this team sniff 500. I really do. So I'm taking the under, and I feel pretty strongly about that one.
Nice. Nice. We don't hate on unders on futures bets and win totals, by the way, on this podcast. That we get an exemption for unders on this show.
That's a different animal.
It's only totals. Yeah, we really, yeah. And I'll be honest, like I said, I've been trying to gimmick unders during the preseason too. Sorry. Well, I'm going to save the best team in the NFC South for last. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay Bucks. They're at 11.5. Man, on FanDuel, the over is juiced to -150. The under is +125. 11.5 wins for the Buccaneers. Zach, what is going on? You think they think this Super Bowl winning team that's returned like the top 35 people on their roster is just gonna, with the greatest quarterback of all time at the helm, is just gonna like do that again?
Yeah, I mean, I hate numbers this high. Like, the idea is always to bet the under on the highest numbers and the over on the lowest numbers, because generally, again, it's like a fade the public move. Generally, the very best teams aren't as good as everybody thinks they are, and the very worst aren't as bad as everybody thinks they are. But if you're going to give me 11.5, now this number's been at 12, and I think I've even seen 12.5, which makes it, and it's a 17-game season, so you've got to recalibrate everything here. But if you're going to give me 11.5, I'm going to go over. The two questions are, no, number one, is Brady going to stay healthy? Which he has had injuries in the past, but like not a lot. And the guy's 44 flipping years old. Like, at some point, Father Time gets everybody at some point. He gets everybody. And Tom Brady so far has sidestepped him, but he's 44 years old. And then the other
time
question
didn't,
I have
didn't is, get Time didn't get Lance Armstrong.
No, the other things got Lance Armstrong. Juice yeah. did.
No, right. But he, when we were like, oh my God, he can do something yeah. that no other human on the planet can do. What are the odds?
I just saw a little like mini documentary on YouTube about there was a Soviet woman and a Czech woman in the 80s who set the world records in the 400 and 800, and they still stand. and I was too young to, you know, I was born in the 80s, so I wasn't paying any attention. But like, you look at the old clips and you're going, how did no one suspect anything? Right.
He had a guy, you know, he had like his own personal guy, like a couple of doctors and weird people that just were part of his crew. And Brady's got that too. Yeah. Brady's got his own guy.
He's got
his, that, like, but, built, he's got that his Belichick pillows, wouldn't so allow Brady in the building. Yeah, Brady had a guy that Belichick said he can't come in here and he can't talk to any other of my players. That's why I say Brady can do it at age 44. Yeah, he's like, he's got that Lance Armstrong thing going on where he's the only one.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, the other question is motivation. I mean, and it's with any defending champ. Are they? Yes, they're motivated to repeat, but are they motivated to go 14-3, or do they care if they go 11-6 and just get right in as a? It, like, that's the other question. Are they just going to fluff off a couple of games and cost you an over? But just looking purely at the team, if that team stays healthy, and even if they don't, they're very deep. But I mean, they've got a top 10 unit basically everywhere. You know, backfield, receivers, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary, special teams. Like, there's no reason they can't win 13 or 14 games if they're properly motivated and if they stay healthy.
It's just juice so much, it's minus 150. That's the thing that keeps me away from it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll bet it, but if you're telling me the total is 11.5, I'm going to go over.
Right, I'm with you. I'd stay away. I mean, like I said, I would love to bet it, but not at minus 150. I think we're the same on there. And then our beloved New Orleans Saints. And currently, and this total feels like it's been moving, but I'm just using FanDuel as a reference right here. The Saints are a 9 flat, which means if they land on 9 on FanDuel on this bet, I believe you're out. I could be wrong, but it might be LSU Ag Center rulemaking. But
it should be a push, right? Maybe FanDuel's a different rule.
I think FanDuel's a little bit different, but I sometimes just say the wrong thing like I actually know what I'm talking about. So
if that was the case, why would they not just say 9.5?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's because if you land on flat, they want to come out ahead. I don't believe it's a push. I could be wrong. For the sake of this, let's say we can do it either way. I mean, do you think the Saints are going to land on 9 wins? It's only relevant if they do.
I think there's a distinct possibility. I mean, you know, there's a lot of variables there, but that's one of the records I see them at 9 or 10 wins, put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think they're a borderline playoff team. The thing is, they've had so much negative press this offseason. Oh, they lost Drew Brees. Oh, Trey Hendrickson left in free agency. Janoris Jenkins left in free agency. Michael Thomas didn't get the surgery in time, and now Sean Payton and him are at each other's throats, and Adam Troutman's hurt. What are we going to do? Jameis Winston throws picks. It just seems like it's been this like flood of negativity, but you forget that there's a pretty damn good skeleton coming back of that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure you don't forget that.
We have the best offensive line in the league.
Yeah, I mean, people around the league, I think, forget that. And so, like, to me, betting the Saints to win 9 games or 10 games, like, to me, that's a pretty decent bet. I think I go over here with a fair bit of confidence, just because I think Peyton can coach Winston up to the point where he doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's still going to make some because he's got that mentality, but I just like the offensive and defensive lines, the linebackers, and obviously you've got some superstars left like Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, DeMario Davis. This is a good team still, and people forget that.
Yeah, this is a very good team. This is a very good team. I'm back on the over bandwagon, the Saints. This is a bet that everybody should place. Over 9, over 9.5. I'm with it.
I want to say, don't quote me on this, he said as he's being recorded, but I think I even saw an 8.5 poking out somewhere. If you can get it at 8.5.
Show me that 8.5. Let me shake their hand.
You could juice that to minus 150, and I'd still bet it because they're going to win 9 games.
Oh, yeah. Zach Ewing, thank you for coming on the show. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you definitely wanted to make sure that we talked about? I mean, before you go, I want to say this. I'm excited that you exist, and I'm excited that your position exists because I feel like a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
And
I've joked with the listeners of this podcast that it almost felt like for a period of time there, I had to fill a vacuum of no gambling coverage as a crazy fucking, mulleted independent podcaster. Now we have a director of sports betting and gaming at the two largest papers in the state. So, brother, I am so glad to have you on here. And thank you for your time and thank you for coming on. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you want to make sure that we get to?
I would just ask people to check out the site. It's bet.nola.com. We've got lots of good stuff up there already, but it's going to be even more. We're going to have James Carville making picks, and you can pick against him every week. And if you beat him, you get a print from our cartoonist who draws all the cartoons in the paper, and it's going to have your name on it and the number of picks you got right, and James Carville and the number of picks he got right. And so you can play that every week. And then there's going to be prizes at the end of the season for that too. And then once betting actually starts, we're going to be partnering with some sports books. We're going to have sign up specials. It's really going to hopefully be the place where not that we don't want you to consume other content, because obviously your podcast is excellent. People should listen to it, but this is the place that everybody should check in from time to time and see what's going on and see what we've got going on. So just, bookmark bet.nola.com and check us out.
Is follow-up question, is bet.nola.com, is that behind a paywall?
It is not.
Oh, like if I went to like regular nola.com, I'm going to get some ad that pops up and ask me to subscribe to nola.com. But if I go to bet.nola.com, that's not going to happen.
It's not supposed to. I'm not on the IT side of it. So if that does happen, if one of your listeners has that happen, let me know, because it's not supposed to.
That'd be a technical glitch, not a policy glitch. Right?
Correct. What you would get is a pop-up saying, hey, sign up for our newsletter. Right. And the newsletter is cool because you're going to get that stuff in your inbox every morning, and it's going to say, hey, we've got this, this, and this. And you can choose, oh, I'm not interested in that, but yeah, I'd love, we got college football win totals. We got a story up about a pro bettor who bet the Saints to win the Super Bowl this summer. I mean, like stuff like that will be in there every single day. And so you will get the pop-up box that says, put your email in and get our newsletter,
right?
But you should not get the subscription pop-up.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I look forward to that, man. Last question. This, we do a hypothetical money line future, real world futures bet. And I want you to put the money line on the futures bet of aliens will be acknowledged by at least three major governments in the next 40 years.
40 years. Mm-hmm. So you're asking me to set the odds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set the odds on that.
40 years is a long time.
I know.
And I kind of feel like if one does it, you're going to have others follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Three major. We just need it'd be like France, U.S., England or something.
U.N. nations, in other words.
Right. Yeah, just major government. Like if North Korea starts saying it, we might not trust them. We might not believe in them. They don't count. the Taliban's like, yes, we've been talking to aliens. We're not going to believe the Taliban.
Man, that's tough. I'm going to put the no at minus 180 and the yes at plus 150.
Yes at plus 150. I like that. I like that. I like that.
What have other people said to that question? I'm curious.
I've got it written down, but I do have memory issue. I'd have to. It's in another notebook in another state, so I've lost. I wish I had that for you, readily accessible.
But I mean, are most people like, yeah, we've got aliens out there, man?
We've got a regular guest that doesn't believe it, and I have a hard time with him. And he's a dear, dear friend. But most people are. I mean, I would. So it sounds like you think that we're in for an admission here in our lifetime. You know?
I don't see. That's the hard part. Is I don't know. The government may know something and not admit it, just because they don't want to cause panic. And then the other thing is technology. Like, the universe is so big, right?
Yeah.
Like again, I'm a Christian against all odds, given right. my job. But
okay,
like
that's, I believe that's interesting. As a gambling editor guy,
yeah,
gambling director.
But
that's fun.
But I believe that greed is a sin. I don't believe right. gambling is necessarily a sin. So that's
like
that's
we talked about. It's entertainment.
That.
It's entertainment. We've talked. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. But just to follow the point, like, why would God create a universe that big and only put life on one tiny little planet?
I know.
What's the point of the rest of it?
I know.
That's what I keep coming back. I think they're out there somewhere. It's just a matter of, is the technology going to find them in the next 40 years? And will the government admit it? So
I'm with you, bro. I think they've started the easing it in with the report that came out a couple months ago. They're just kind of like where they had, you know, 147 cases. They're like, we can't explain 144 of them. Sorry. They're going to fall into the category of they definitely were sightings, but we don't know what they were. You know, I think they're like,
that's
starting
a big number.
That was a preliminary report. I think you're going to get a lot of more reports. So I think, like, if you're asking me, I put the minus 110 on the yes, and I put the no at like a plus 350. Because I'm, yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, it could happen for sure.
It could happen for sure. Zach Ewing, thanks for coming on. We consider you a friend of the pod now. Would love to have you on in the future, brother. We got a tradition on this show. At the end of the show, we'd like to say goodnight to all the beautiful people listening and taking the over around the world. Say goodnight to all the beautiful people.
Good night, beautiful people.
And we'll see you guys on the other side. Thanks a lot. Later. Love you. Bye. All right.